Pour that Dre, fingers to the sky, give a damn what you
make. I got the juice, yeah. From Adams all the way out to Spruce, yeah. Bitch, the bitches gon' choose, yeah. I'ma fuckin', I'ma give her the boot, yeah. Purple, red, or yellow, I'ma pull it up. You a real nigga, you already know, sir.
Yeah.
Louis and Irene, I only smoke Louis or Irene. It's the perk with the lean, ayy. T-G-O-D, shout to my nigga A.D. You made it on your own, that remind me of me. Just screaming all out, pushing ink. Loyal to my niggas till I B.I.P. I bought 20 pistols and a whole lot of ammo. Ever since I could remember, we been chopping out the bendo.
Yeah.
Nigga with it too. If you got an issue, somebody better tell him, nigga,
I got the juice.
AD, I got the juice.
Hey, man, what's going on, fam? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I'm your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed, and I'm ready to chop up some good game with the family. What we're going to do, fam, we're going to take a real quick commercial break so I can come back and spit some of that hot fire for the family. And when I come back, we'll be right back with these messages, so don't you go nowhere, everybody.
Hey, what's up? It's dating and life coach Mr. Locario. Go to badboymembership.com and master the dating game by joining my Bad Boy Membership program. In this program, you'll receive 45 through 90 minute, easy to follow, step-by-step dating advice tutorials that's guaranteed to help you attract, date, and have sex with beautiful women. Join the Bad Boy Membership today by going to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
What's going on, family? Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in, family. Hey, family, I'm going to be doing a lecture January 30th in the Bay. Going to be at Berkeley at the Black National Theater. I think that's the name of it. I'm going to have the flyer up at Tariq Live pretty soon. And I'm going to be in Cincinnati, Ohio. I was just in Ohio. I was in Toledo a few weeks ago. But now I'm going to be in Cincinnati, Ohio. That's going to be February 6th. So you guys go to TariqLive.com to get more information on that. Shout out to my boy Bryson. I need Bryson to get me the flyer for the Bay Area show because a lot of folks want to come to that lecture. And a lot of people asking me to do lectures. I'm trying my best to finish Hidden Colors 4. I'm working my ass off on Hidden Colors 4. I swear it's a tedious process doing these documentaries. And I'm trying to lock myself in, but man, people keep bringing me out to do lectures, and you know, I gotta be there for the people. I might be doing a lecture in Birmingham, Alabama pretty soon. Some cats from UAB hit me up, some people in Dallas, so just all over. I'm working real hard trying to get Hidden Colors 4 ready. It looks like Hidden Colors 4 will probably be ready by April. I wanted to have Hidden Colors 4 ready by February, but it's the process. I know we're not, I don't want to rush. We're not going to be ready by February. I know for a fact we're not going to be ready by February, and I don't want to rush it because these movies, man, when I do these documentaries, you have to understand we use a lot of B-roll footage, meaning we use a lot of historical photos and archive videos and reenactment footage. And just doing the research for that and gathering all that footage, man, that takes us a minute, man. It's for like one or two photos or one or two videos, it takes about 2 or 3 days just to get that. You know, finding the right footage, and then we got to shoot stuff, and we got to, it's a whole process, man. It's a very tedious process, but it pays off. So I'm taking my time with it. So we're looking at April for Hidden Colors 4 to make it real, real tight. I'm trying to make it as crisp as possible. That's why I sound kind of fried now. I've been working on Hidden Colors 4 all day. Literally, when I wake up from sunup to sundown, I'm working on Hidden Colors 4. Imagine doing a term paper. That's how I can best describe it. Imagine you're doing the finals, a term paper, every day for almost a year. Now, you know how doing a term paper is already draining if you have to do it for like a few days or a week. That drains the hell out of you. Just imagine doing that shit for damn near a year every day. You're doing a term paper. You're researching, looking, researching. So that just gives you an idea of the process. So it looks easy and everything looks smooth when you see the final product, but it's a lot of energy and a lot of time that goes into making these documentaries crisp. And I gotta make it crisp for the people. So it'll be ready no later than April. It'll be ready no later than that. But I digress. And also, you can get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3 at HiddenColorsFilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. That's HiddenColorsFilm.com. And also, it's Christmas time. We got some good sales. We don't have a Mackish package right now, but we got some good sales, some discounts on some of the Tariq Elite gear at TariqElite.com. We got the boots at a discount level. We got some of the button-down shirts at a discount, so you can go and get you some gifts for your family at TariqElite.com, ladies and gentlemen. Now, on today's show, I'm going to chop up some game on today's show. I haven't chopped up no good ism on today's show. I'm going to chop up some ism on today's show. But let me talk about some stuff that's going on in the news. Let me get a call real quick. The phone lines are blowing up here. Let's see who we got on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
What's up? This is Derek from Memphis.
Derek from Memphis. How you doing, fam?
How you doing, man? What's going on?
I'm good. What's on your mind, Derek?
Got a small little question for you. What are your views and feelings on the new Gods of Egypt movie they got coming out with the majority white film cast?
Oh, yeah. I've always talked about that. That whole, I saw the trailer for that at the movies. That Gods of Egypt thing where they are just going out of their way to try to show the ancient Egyptians as being white. And they see that there's an awakening with African people globally, especially with the Hidden Color series. So they're going into overdrive to try to keep brainwashing us to believing that anything significant or credible throughout history had to have a white face on it. And the thing is, they have to be slick about doing it, because if they do it like they did the last movie that flopped, where they made all the Egyptians white, this right. time, I talked about this before, this film, The Gods of Egypt, they turned it into a fantasy film. So now they can get a little leeway to lie a little bit. I saw the trailer, and it was on some science fiction shit. You know, you had the pyramid and laser beams and fucking aliens and all types of crazy shit with all the characters white. Well, so I'm still not buying it. It's still propaganda, and don't none of y'all buy it either. The ancient Egyptian...
No way.
Of course.
I noticed that they try to do that. They try to manipulate your views by throwing in a little special effect and everything, a little gimmick and everything, and try to convince you, oh, well, it's just entertainment, but really the message is truly behind everything they're doing.
Yes, indeed. They don't do anything just for the sake of doing it. There's always a rhyme and reason behind it. But anyway, thank you for the call, family.
Thanks, Rick.
Yes, sir. That's why, man, Hidden Colors and Hidden Colors 4 is so important, family. That's why it's so important for films like that to come out, so we can correct the minds of our youths and our adults too. A lot of adults don't know what the deal is. And speaking of propaganda, man, you know what? We got some of the best athletes, melanoid people. We're some of the best athletes on the planet. And we dominate so many sports, boxing, tennis, golf, the whole nine. And since the white supremacists cannot find a great white hope to compare us to, they'll do something else that's very desperate. And the white supremacists, they did something that I thought was very tacky. What else is new? Everything the white supremacists do is tacky. But Serena Williams, she was on the cover of a magazine. What was it? Was it Sports Illustrated? One of those magazines. You know, she's getting props as being the athlete of the year. You know, they're giving her props. And one of these newspapers wrote an article juxtaposing Serena Williams against a horse. There's some type of racehorse that's out there that won a lot of races. And the article was like, who's the best athlete this year? This horse, who I don't even know what the horse's name is, or Serena Williams. So now they're going to try to compare our sister with a damn horse. And that's insulting on so many levels. Number one, you just can't say, hey, this chick is the best, this sister's doing her thing. Just leave it alone. She's fly, she's doing it, she's the best athlete in her field. Just give her props on that. You can't do that. And since you can't find nobody else white to be the great white hope to compare her to, you try to take her down a notch by saying, okay, well, is she better than this horse over here? Is this horse the athlete of the year? That just shows how despicable and desperate the white supremacists are getting. And they're very desperate. You can look at these Trump rallies and see how desperate they're getting. They're desperate to maintain the vicious cycle of white supremacy. With these Donald Trump rallies, they're becoming neo-Nazi rallies. There was another rally where another black person got thrown out. While this black person was getting thrown out of this rally, because he was like kind of heckling, so they get real violent. And when this brother was getting thrown out, and I think some women got thrown out too, some of the white supremacists standing around, they were yelling white power, and they were yelling out Sag Hail, some of these Nazi chants. Literally, they were yelling out Nazi chants. Some, and this is all video. You can look this up on YouTube. Somebody in Trump's audience was yelling out to the black person getting thrown out. They was like, set him on fire. They were talking some lynch mob shit, talking about burning the man up. Somebody even yelled out, he's a Muslim. Now, there's no evidence that this man was a Muslim, but I told you people that Muslim is a code word for black. Y'all have to understand that. I cannot reiterate that enough. Muslim is always a code word for black. It's very difficult for the white supremacists in this day and age to get out and just start making derogatory comments about black people blatantly. So they got to talk in code. And Muslim is a code word. When they y'all hear about anti-Muslim sentiment, they're talking about black people. That's that whole Christians and Moors thing. So do not be fooled by that. But again, with this whole Donald Trump thing, there's so many people who are white supremacists rallying around Donald Trump. Because again, the white supremacists, they're looking for a new Hitler. And Trump is the closest thing to that Hitler. There's several stories coming out talking about Trump and his background. You know, Trump's family, they come from Germany. From what I read from my studies, the grandfather, name was Frederick Drumpf, which is a German name. And when he got to the Americas, he, from what I heard, I'm not sure how true it is, but this is what I've been reading, that he Anglicized his name and turned it into Trump. Now, Trump's granddad, the guy who immigrated from Germany. Now, he came from that Second Reich of Germany. He came from Germany when they were going through the Second Reich. Now, a lot of people talk about the Third Reich, which is Hitler and him putting those Jewish people in ovens and burning innocent people and killing millions of innocent people. The Third Reich gets a lot of press and notoriety, but a lot of people ignore the Second Reich of Germany before they got to the Jewish people. The Second Reich, the Germans were over there in Africa. They committed genocide majorly. It was a major African genocide. They killed millions of Africans in Namibia. You guys need to check out, there's a documentary about that, about the Namibian genocide by the Germans in the Second Reich. Google that. Google Namibia genocide, Second Reich. There's a great documentary on that, but a lot of folks ignore that, that whole anti-black sentiment that the Germans had. Oh, they were practicing for the Jewish population with black folks, but they never mentioned what they did to the black people in Namibia. So that just gives you an idea of the German mentality, how deep white supremacy was with them. And Trump, he comes from that, and his family, you know, there's rumors about his father not his grandfather, but his father. His father, there are rumors about him being connected with the Klan. There are articles talking about Trump's father was arrested at a Klan rally in Queens in the 1920s, and there's arrest records for that. And it also, there's articles about Trump's dad being discriminatory against black real estate tenants. And there's stuff about Trump making derogatory comments about black people for years. We know Trump's, Donald Trump's history. And the fact that millions of white supremacists are galvanizing around this guy, it's nothing to be surprised about, because we live in a system of white supremacy. And so many people, you know, black folks don't want to hear that too much, but you're going to have to learn the hard way. These white supremacists are getting their numbers together. They're getting more blatant, they're getting more bold, and ignoring them is not going to save you. You better wake up and see what these people are doing. Remember, when Hitler came into power, there were millions of white supremacists over there in Germany that was going for that. That's why he was able to kill people the way he did. He got the support of the mass population. So you can play that game where you want to ignore them, and when you see the writing on the wall, man, you better start getting a code of conduct out here, family. This shit is real. Let me get a call real quick. We're going to take our time on today's show. What's up? Who's calling?
Oh, this is Lewis.
What's up, Lewis? What's on your mind, man?
I just had a question for you.
Go ahead, Lewis.
Yeah, I've been at Sam's Club for about 2 years, and I feel they're discriminating against me, and I just had a question. Like, I've been asking them, can I get trained on the forklift, because I'm actually doing a load. I didn't hurt my back and did everything. They're bumping other white employees in front of me, you know, like training them on the forklift, and I've been there for 2 years, and there's a lot of discrimination going on, and I was wondering, like, if you had any advice on that.
Well, what you do, brother, it's time for you. Look, y'all got to understand, I've said this a million times, at these jobs, they keep black people in the same position for years and years and years. When the white cat comes in, they have you train them, and then they promote them over you. That happens every single day. I get the same call, the same email from different people, black folks, all the time. There's always somebody else. They're bringing them in over you. We live in a system of white supremacy. When you work for the white supremacists, they're going to look out for their own. That's all it is to it. And the only thing you can do, because you can try to quit and go to another job, and it's going to be the same dynamic. It's always going to be that glass ceiling for you at these jobs. You got to create your own. I learned that at an early age. I'm like, I am not working for nobody, and they're going to be promoting motherfuckers over me, and I'm sitting at the same position for years. Fuck that. I'm getting my own thing.
I had a guy today, because I was trying to get into the meat cutting, because I got all the experience. And he's telling me they're going to move him in to meat cutting. He got no experience. A white guy, he got no experience, period. And I interviewed for the job, and they didn't tell me that they didn't tell me if I had the job or not. They just moved another guy into the position. And it's just crazy up there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they white supremacists look out for their own. That's the name of the game. So it's time to look out for your own, which is you. So what you have to start doing is stacking your money up and weaning yourself off the dependency of these jobs. That's all it is to it, man. But thank you for the call, brother.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, we live in a system of white supremacy. That's always going to happen, man. That's always going to happen. I hate to keep repeating it. Shit. You live in a system of white supremacy where they're going to elevate other white people over you. It's that simple. It's just that simple. Now, they'll have a token Negro somewhere up in there, but his ass is going to be in that same token position forever. He ain't going to be making that much money. They'll have one token Negro somewhere, and that's it. They ain't about to have a bunch of y'all working in high positions or positions paying a hell of a lot over some white folks. They ain't going to do that. That defeats the whole purpose of white supremacy. My goodness. And speaking of white supremacy, man, y'all know in Missouri, y'all know the brothers who stood up to those politicians and stood up to the president of that university out there, the Missouri University, those athletes who decided that they were not going to play ball and they were going to cause that school to lose millions of dollars. I told y'all, man, the white supremacists, they don't take an L sitting down. They do not take an L sitting down. They... There was a politician out there in Missouri who tried to propose a new law where students, if they refuse to play, they'll get their scholarship revoked. And from what I understand, I think the bill was shut down. But y'all better watch these politicians out here. They're behind the scenes trying to introduce all types of bills. They don't take an L sitting down. When the white supremacists, when they take an L, oh, they go back to the drawing board. They go to the drawing board. See, black folks, I get on black folks all the time. When you get any type of victory, and I saw this with the kids in Missouri, when the brothers decided to not play ball and they got rid of the president of the school, I saw a lot of black folks dancing and singing. Y'all need to cut that shit out. You get one little step forward and then you want to dance for 50 fucking years. Y'all cut that out. Because while you dancing, these white supremacists are going to the drawing board. And remember, when y'all dancing, y'all notice them white supremacists started phoning in all types of death threats and the whole shebang. Man, y'all better watch these bills. See, that's what, when all this stuff was going on down there in Ferguson, you had some of these Black Lives Matter folks and some of these clowns who work at or work with Ebony.com, that whole little NBW crew, those people, and all the little Gay Lives Matter people and intersectionality people. They're going down there to Ferguson and St. Louis, running around, hopping in front of cameras, yelling and screaming, just bringing attention to themselves. But nobody was really getting into the policies there. That's why I was chopping it up with some of the politicians down there. I had a town hall meeting. Some of the local politicians came through, and we were talking about what we need to do to get people registered to vote. We were registering people to vote. We were getting people together on a political level so that they can start targeting certain people, so they can know who's in power, who's the people putting these laws together, and how can we target them. That's the name of the game. Because while motherfuckers out here running around with bullhorns yelling and running, chasing Don Lemon and all these people yelling in the screen and doing a bunch of nothing, you ain't looking at what these politicians are doing, these little secret bills they're trying to slip past you. That's what you need to be looking at. And make sure that these voters shut these shits down. Because these white supremacists, man, look, they go to the drawing board and they got all types of think tanks and stuff. This is why y'all see that case of that chick, this white girl named Abigail Fisher. There's a white girl named Abigail Fisher who's been trying to get an affirmative action case to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court is actually going to hear her case. This white girl, she was down in Texas. She couldn't get into this school, and she said it was because of affirmative action. The black kids and the Latinos and the so-called minorities were in positions because of affirmative action, and that prevented her from going to the school. Now, a lot of people have been throwing darts at this white girl. She's 25 years old now. She's been doing this case for about 8 years. They didn't shut it down a couple of times. Now it has reached the Supreme Court. And even the school has said, hey, look, her grades were kind of half-assed. This chick had fucked up scores, so it wasn't no damn affirmative action. And there's only a few black kids who go to the damn school. So it ain't got nothing to do with affirmative action, so this girl has got this case all the way to the Supreme Court. And there was a hashtag called Stay Mad Abby and the whole shebang. And, you know, a lot of folks were throwing darts at Abby. You know, I made jokes here and there. But then I'm looking at the situation and I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Let me look at this. Let me look at the whole chessboard here. Let me look at the whole chessboard here, because I'm looking at this Abby chick. I'm peeping her out, and I'm thinking, I'm like, wait a minute. This Abby chick, when she's talking and doing interviews, she's not the brightest bulb in the lamp. So I'm like, wait a minute. How's this case going to the Supreme Court? Where's this little old trailer park looking chick getting the money from? Now, I don't know too much about the chick. I'm just, this is my conjecture. But I'm looking at her, and I'm listening to her, and I'm like, wait a minute. Where is she getting the money to go to the damn Supreme Court? Let's wait 1 minute. Let me just look at the whole chessboard. Let me do some research on her. And sure enough, there's a bigger picture here. Now, this Abigail Fisher chick, she's just used as the front person for a bigger agenda. Because she was scouted, she was found, she was put out here in the media by a guy named Edward Blum, or Bloom. B-L-U-M. Follow me on this. Now, Edward Bloom, he's a suspected white supremacist. He has this little nonprofit organization, and what he does, he goes around scouting for people who, white people who couldn't get in school, and he tries to manipulate their story into like an affirmative action anti-black agenda so that he can get money and donations. So he has an organization called the Project on Fair Representation. So it's really an anti-black organization. He tries to cherry pick cases and manipulate situations into unfair deals that white people are getting. He makes it seem like, okay, if a white person can't get in school, he's going to flip it as if there's an unqualified black person who has their position, and he tries to get the stories in the media. Now, he tried to use some Asian people for his agenda, but they called him out. There were some Asian Americans who called him out for his racism. He tried to use them against black folks. He tried to get some Asians to say, hey, you couldn't get in school because of some black folks. And they were like, no, no, we ain't with that shit. No, no, you don't try to use us. No, we see what you're doing. We ain't with it. We ain't with it. But she, that Abigail is a front for these dudes. And follow this dude. His name is Edward Blum, or Bloom, however you pronounce it. Now, another interesting thing about him, Edward Bloom, he's a part of this think tank called American Enterprise Institute. He's affiliated with this think tank. And y'all watch out for these think tanks. Now, what's the American Enterprise Institute? Now, this is one of these so-called conservative think tanks, which basically they sit up coming up with different ways to shit on black people. That think tank is one of the think tanks that funded that Dinesh D'Souza dude. Dinesh D'Souza, he's an East Indian coon who basically is put out there by the white supremacists to dump on black people. He has several books dumping on black people, and this think tank, they fund him. Also, the American Enterprise Institute, one of their members is another guy named Charles Murray. Now, Charles Murray wrote a book, or co-authored a book in the 90s called The Bell Curve. Now, how many of y'all remember The Bell Curve? Now, that Bell Curve was one of the most anti-black racist books that's been out in the last 20 years. This book tried to scientifically prove that black people had low IQs and we were somehow mentally inferior to whites. That book was very controversial. And this American Enterprise Institute, they fund people like that. And this Charles Murray guy, he's one of these guys like, hey, we need to stop the welfare state. We need to stop giving black folks all this welfare and affirmative action because they don't deserve it. So they got a whole agenda, and these people get hundreds of millions of dollars to come up with all of this anti-black nonsense. And truth be told, many of these think tanks that's out there, their sole purpose is to come up with ways to disenfranchise black people. Most of these think tanks, that's what they do. When you see a think tank or hear about a think tank, they're very secretive, they're very private. And most of these think tanks are little incubators for white supremacy. So you got to watch out. That whole Abby Fisher, she's just a front person, man. There's a bigger agenda there. So that's why we got to be on code, man. We got to be on top of our game and watch these people and be able to call them out, man. Because look, even in New York, there's think tanks in New York. I think there was one called the Manhattan Project or whatever, and they come up with ways to put black folks in the prison system. They come up with ways to gentrify neighborhoods with black people. So these white supremacists, man, they work on this thing 24/7, man. They don't fuck around. We out here playing and joking and dancing and whatever, and they are burning the midnight oil, coming up with ways to disenfranchise us. Let me get some calls real quick before I get into some game. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's up, Tariq? It's Joe from L.A., long-time listener.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
I got a question for you.
Go ahead, Joe.
So having come out of a 3-year relationship, I want you to chime in on some older Mac Lessons knowledge as to some new rules or some new player rules slash how the game has changed.
Yes.
Just briefly.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, I'm going to touch on that in a few minutes, man, but thank you for the call. And I'm going to do some, probably the beginning of the new year, I'm going to put out some more games, some more rules. I'm going to start doing that. But let's get into some game now. I haven't gotten into some real ism in a long time, so we're going to do that right now. I know a lot of the topics have been heavy, but we're going to get into some ism right now, ladies and gentlemen. Now, today's topic, we're going to be talking about putting women under some instructions. That's the topic. And a lot of people have been hitting me up for relationship advice because I did an interview with my partner, Big Boy, on Big Boy's Neighborhood, nationally syndicated radio host, the number one radio host out here in Los Angeles, by the way. And I recently did an interview on Big Boy's show, and that went up on YouTube, and it went up on WorldStar, and it's just been going viral. So I've been getting flooded with people sending me questions about relationship advice. I've been getting flooded with it. So I got to get real deep back into the ism. But I want to read this email, and I want to touch on the importance of giving some instructions. I got an email from one of the many listeners, and this guy said, look, Tariq, basically, there's this woman, and she recently got out of a relationship, which has been rough on her, and I happen to know her, and I know her ex and her alleged ex. So being the friend that I am, I decided to console her and try to lift her spirits. Initially, I wasn't trying to get anything out of it, but as time went on, I got to know her better. I saw how respectable, how caring, and how understanding she was, and I told her this. A couple of months ago, she tells me she feels the same way, and she's really into me, and that I drive her crazy. And recently, she went out to a bar with her friend. She enjoyed herself, had a couple of drinks, getting loose and whatnot. And 2 days later, she tells me she isn't ready for a relationship with me, and she just needs to find herself before we can make any decisions, and that she's not 100% that I deserve her at her best, and she can't be her best just yet. But she still wants to be around me and maintain our friendship. So what would be the right thing to do? Stick around knowing we both have feelings for each other, or would it be better if we cut things off completely? And knowing her ex, that would definitely complicate things. So should I be upfront and let him know that I feel this way about his ex? Okay. So a lot of cats go through situations like this. And this is the problem with this dude. And this is the problem with a lot of cats who get into this friend zone rebound thing, because you become her rebound rag. You're in the friend zone and you become the rebound rag, and she's giving you mixed signals. One day she says she wants to be down. The next day she's unsure. That whole song and dance. And this is the problem, fellas, that happens with dudes like this. The reason why females are so janky and so flaky with you is because you fail to put women like this under some instructions. Fellas, when you deal with women, you got to have the mindset of a leader. And as a leader, you're going to have to put women up under some instructions. Now, women, some women might say, oh, that sounds kind of chauvinistic. Not chauvinistic at all. Giving somebody some instructions is not a negative thing. It's not like on some Ike and Tina, you better sing this motherfucker like I wrote it. It ain't those type of instructions. When I mean instructions, giving an overall agenda and a direction for the relationship. And a lot of guys, y'all failed to do that. You failed to put women up under some instruction. This is, and these are terms that the street players would use. When you see a woman out there working, a renegade and whatever, they say, okay, she needs to be up under some instructions. And that applies to square relationships too. See, the thing is, man, if you want to do this half-ass song and dance with women, you're not going to get the results you need. See, fellas, you get in what you put out. So whatever you put in the relationship, that's what you're going to get out the relationship. Whatever you put in that relationship, you're going to get the same thing out. So if you put in some half-ass game, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get some half-ass cooperation. And the thing is, with this gentleman who sent the email, because he's not putting her up under no instructions, you're letting that woman lead. She's leading the direction of the relationship, and this woman is taking him on emotional circles. Because she has no instructions. It's just an emotional circle with this woman, and he's following her in her emotional circle. So the direction of the relationship is basically dependent upon that woman's emotional state that day. So if one day she feels like she wants to be intimate, she'll act on that. And 2 or 3 days later, when she done had a couple of drinks and it's cloudy outside and she thinking about her ex, now you step to her, she's unsure. So you're following this woman, you ain't gave her no instructions, and now you're following her and her little emotional states, and emotions change every day. And you're following this woman, letting her lead you around an emotional roller coaster. And that's the problem. Men, you're not emotional. You're not supposed to be emotional. Everything you do is supposed to have logic behind it. And the woman needs to be following that logic. You don't need to be following emotions. So you got to switch your game up. You got to step your leadership game up and make a woman follow those logical instructions that you give. You got to be the one setting the direction of the relationship. And see, this is the problem. Because a lot of dudes, man, you don't want to put a woman up under no instructions, because that takes too much discipline. And a lot of you don't have discipline, because that means you got to have your shit together and you got to be able to lead yourself. And a lot of dudes out here, you're very unsure of yourself. You don't know what you want to do. You don't know where you want to go. So you kind of want to lay up under a woman like she's your mom and have her kind of pamper you and baby you. It don't work like that. You got to know yourself. You got to know what kind of direction you want to go in before you give her some instructions on what type of direction to go in. So you got to have a lot of discipline there, fellas. And also, fellas, you don't want to invest the game in the woman by giving her instructions, because a lot of times y'all just want to hit it. And when you just want to hit it, you just want to exert the least amount of energy possible. And like I said earlier, if you exert half-ass energy, you're going to get half-ass results. So just hanging around a woman, being that emotional rag, you think that's good enough to get your foot in the door, and it ain't working like that. You end up frustrated because just being there, just like some of those Black Lives Matter protesters, you think just showing up is doing something. Showing up ain't it. You got to do more than just show up. You got to put in some work when you show up. You got to have an agenda when you show up. You got to start giving some directions when you show up. You got to start mapping things out when you show up. You got to start building when you show up. Just hanging around and just hoping that some loose coochie is going to come your way, that ain't happening. So you don't want to make that investment a good game. So you got to make that investment, fellas. You got to invest in that ism. You got to invest in that game and give a woman some instructions and upgrade her. Because the thing is, man, when you're following these women around and you're just sitting around with her, listening to her bullshit ass conversation about loving hip hop and the housewives of Atlanta, because that's basically a lot. If you leave these women to themselves, that's what the shit they talk about. No disrespect. They talk about insignificant TV shit, to be honest. A lot of them, not all, but a lot. They talking about love and hip hop. Some shit that came on BET, Nicki Minaj and Meek Mill. Just, you know, gossipy, chatty bullshit. And if you're sitting up with that gossipy, chatty bullshit going on and on about that with her, in the back of her mind, she's going to look at you like, okay, I can't get this nigga nothing. I can't really get into no relationship with him. I can't follow him because this nigga's doing what I'm doing. Sitting around gossiping and lollygagging. This nigga's lollygagging with me. He ain't teaching me nothing. That's how women think. That's exactly how women think. This nigga's out here bullshitting with me. He's up in woman's business. You ain't even supposed to be in women's business like that. Women talk about all that gossipy shit on the phone with their homegirls. If they're talking all that gossipy bullshit with you, you made a left turn. Women should know certain shit she shouldn't talk about with certain dudes. Like with me, I don't sit up with women talking about some old gossipy ass bullshit. Even my wife, I don't talk about gossipy shit with her. I don't want to hear that. She better get on the phone with her friends or her sister or somebody. That's what she does. I don't want to hear no gossipy ass bullshit. And women don't want a dude to sit up there and gossip with him. Women don't want that shit in no dude. Let me tell you something, fellas. The biggest aphrodisiac for a woman is teaching her some new shit. Fellas, if you teach a woman some new game, that's a real turn on for a woman. You put a woman up on some game, give her some game she didn't know about, that's an extreme turn on for women. Women love that shit. And when I'm talking about giving game, don't mistake it for a dude trying to be bossy. See, a lot of women out here who got daddy issues, you know, when a dude is trying to lace him with something, sometimes they think he's trying to be bossy, but that's a woman who has issues on her own. That's a woman who has some other shit going on. But a woman with a normal mentality, when a dude is lacing her with some real shit that she didn't know that she can use, something that's practical, oh, they love that shit.